hey, I'm going to say this right up top. I have one nice thing to say about this game.
Wow.
I have one nice thing to say about this game. If you don't want to hear me be upset and irate this whole episode, come back next week.
I'm super curious how much you hated this game.
I'll get into it, I have to say it now.
Did you
before the title? Yes, I got to the ending.
Okay. Well, say your nice thing.
Oh, the vocal, like the out acting was
yeah.
Really
okay. That's the
tremendous.
Thing I want to talk about also.
Yeah, the acting itself is tremendous. Great.
Okay.
Okay. Now that's done out of the way. We're recording this. It's gonna be a quicker one today. I have to. We have to record and edit and publish and schedule it the same day, and I also have to pack for my trip because I'm going on a work trip this week. So that's if it's a little bit shorter than usual. I'm sorry.
Let's get in. Let's get out.
Let's get. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, I said that all while moving my microphone, so it sounded like this.
Yeah.
It's going to be.
Yeah.
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 All right. Content warning for sexual assault, bland religious themes, and a bunch of other bullshit as we talk about Indica.
Then in the back half of our show, I'm going to be helping Jerome pack and picking out which socks he's going to wear next week.
I only have one type of pair of socks. It's going to be real easy. Oh, I suppose I should bring my fancy ones that you gave me from Norway. I think we talked about those on the show.
Probably.
Yeah.
We talked about a lot of things on the show.
I can wear those for the holiday party.
We've made a lot of this show.
We sure have. It could give you the house tour. It's actually just a hole in the Abbotress Monastery, and it's not very light. Hi.
Hi.
Welcome to Light Gaming. This is the not-so-lighthearted video game podcast about not light games.
This one isn't. This one's pretty not lighthearted.
I am your host of Light Gaming, Jerome Barbatsis, and I am joined by my very obviously spliced-in co-host of Light Gaming, Alexander Hambrock.
Hello.
And we are talking 2025's Indica, made by some fuckers. I don't know. Tell us more about Indica.
Indica.
Yes, we don't have to talk about Indica anymore.
Stop for one second.
Ah, fuck. Now we got to talk about it again.
Indica is a 2024 game, actually.
Oops.
released by... How could you get it wrong?
I didn't was actually
it not
look at the wiki.
super obvious what the release date of this game was by just looking at it. Developed by a studio called Odd Meter, published by 11-Bit Studios, most famously known for the Frostpunk games. That tracks. A lot of Eastern European vibes over all of that.
Sure.
It is a largely third-person adventure game set in a turn-of-the-century alternate universe Russia.
It's a walking simulator.
It's a walking simulator with some light puzzle platformy stuff.
Sure.
Following a young nun named Indica, a young woman who is... confused in her faith and has trouble fitting in with the other nuns to the point where they pretty much immediately kick her out at the start of the game, whereupon she embarks on a journey to try and...
Well,
she embarks on a journey beset by what could possibly be the devil talking to her or just her own intrusive thoughts, and occasionally experiencing flashbacks and delusions that take the form of fun 8-bit minigames.
Yeah. What a choice that is, huh?
What a choice it is.
This game is so... You go first. Compliment sandwich, maybe? You talk again.
Here's the thing. I liked this game more than you did. I suspect you and I are not going to disagree very much.
Yeah.
I think that most of what I suspect you're going to have a problem with this game, I think, is also valid. I think this game... is a pretty good vibe piece. It's pretty straightforward. It's 4 hours long. The setting is weird, and I found it kind of aesthetically compelling. And as you alluded to, the vocal performances from the two main characters, who basically have one long ongoing conversation over the course of the game, is really very good. Like, they are both very good actors. The actual sort of philosophical content in those conversations is not super deep, but I don't really need it to be. It's like the game... certainly is not like exposing me to new ideas I have not encountered before, but I enjoyed the process of kind of like listening to these characters talk through this while also playing Super Hexagon in the giant fish assembly plant.
So that's where, no, I don't think we agree, because I don't like the setting of this game. I think the setting is more than just like the location it takes place in. It's the tone and the vibe that this game gives off, and the tone and the is confusing. It's extremely confusing. You're alternating between these third-person simulator things and then these, yeah, these weird flashbacks, these weird 8-bit flashbacks where you're playing Pac-Man or you're doing, you're playing Downfall or whatever the hell else, dumb shit that completely fucks the tone of what's going on. And you're constantly beset by this internal monologue that is a worse Stanley Parable. Like,
sure.
Like, this just feels like it's a Stanley Parable that's like trying to take itself seriously, but it sounds, I just couldn't, like, I found it funny because I was laughing at it. I was like, this guy, this devil and this game overall is just, I'm just going to get right to the matter of it. Pretty harsh when it comes to, actually, it's extremely harsh in a way that is very one note and predictable and dumb. And it's kind of it's very much a against religion in a very much authoritative and linear way that takes no sort of, it takes nothing into account what religion actually does for people.
That's
and
reasonable.
And what it actually contributes. It is basically just, it has this very narrow viewpoint of religion that would fit in on a message board in the year 2008, where it was just kind of this religion bad, rapey. Sorry to say, like, it's multiple. Yeah. Sorry, this game gets the Rape Simulator Award of 2024 because it has multiple instances of it. It's all in service to just sheer shock factor. And the way in which it displays trauma is also very trivial and not very well thought through. It's displaying Indica's trauma responses as these sort of like hallucinogenic responses, or like this possible possession, because that's the framework with which she exists, right? She lives in this nun, this convent for a long time, and she always like has this religious perspective, so she's processing these things in a way that seems as if maybe she's possessed by the devil, maybe she's not. Here's an example that's early on in the game. The nuns are all lining up to take the Eucharist, right? Or whatever.
The cup.
And for some reason, when it's her turn, there's a small man that dances from out of the priest's mouth onto his arm, and it compels her to kind of knock the priest's arm away. The thing is that didn't happen for anyone else in line in front of her. So she had ample reason to sort of, at this point, question, like, that's not there. I'm not going to fucking do this. If this game really wanted to make Indica feel crazy, that little man should have jumped out in front of everyone, and everyone else's nuns should, like, they should have been, like, not reacting at all. And Indica, up till that whole time, rather than just being, like, constantly self-flagellating mentally, as this game loves to do, there should have been more in the way of Indica actually questioning the reality around her, as opposed to this sort of ooh, you're a fuck up all the time kind of mentality. I don't think the game does a very good job of portraying actual insanity.
I'm in two minds about this. On the one hand, the sort of like the erraticness of her intrusive thoughts and her hallucinations and stuff like that, and the fact that she doesn't really have a good framework for like understanding or processing what those might be, other than sort of like, you know, religious experience that she doesn't really believe in, and so like she's left even further adrift. Again, the delivery from the character, I think, sells me a lot of it. On the other hand, I do agree with you. The game is in many ways pretty mean to her, in the fact that it's mean to kind of all of the characters. Yeah. And the ending is extremely fucking bleak.
Yes. I don't have an issue with the way this game ends at all. It makes sense, but it's boring. I don't think it's bleak in the way that it's just kind of, I'm just sort of worn down by all of the graphic ness that's interspersed with these just so laughably simple, like, is it good or is it bad? Oh, it's more like it's degrees. Is it Fahrenheit or is it Celsius? Like, it's all relative. Like, God, come on. It's trite. Trite!
The game is very self-serious. Did you like Ilya?
It was, I don't know. I didn't hate Ilya. Ilya is just the other person that we run into, who is another complicated figure who is a staunch believer.
Up until he's not, because the game is like, fuck you, your faith is fake. So,
yeah, yes and no. But like the, because he's a believer up until like even after Indica saves his life. In a very serious way. It's just like this. The problem is he's just this walking Chekhov's gun with his nastiness, and it's like, ugh, great, I can't. You know,
he is an escaped prisoner who you encounter early on, who has an arm that is suffering badly from gangrene.
Yeah.
And he's at the same location that Indica is being sent to because there's a holy relic there that he believes that, like, you know, will possibly be able to heal his arm. And I think if we're just going kind of full spoiler with this, are you angry enough that you don't care?
Does anyone
close to the end of the game, he gets to a point where the gangrene has like gotten to the, like, sepsis has gotten his whole body. He collapses, and Indica cuts his arm off to save his life, and he gets very angry at her for doing this because they ended up meeting back up together. But yes, there's a moment where like she does the rational thing, which is to save her life, and he gets angry because, like, you know, he is so possessed of faith that like he needed to believe that his arm could be healed rather than having it cut off.
And this means that you can't do actual good because religion bad and religion get in the way of good.
Yeah.
And then it keeps happening again. Once they get to the end, they're like, Indica's like, please just let us see this. We have this miracle. And then of course, religion bad. Bad God, get the cop. Religion bad. Like, God fucking damn. Let up for a second.
I will admit here, I think the ending did sour me on this game more than like the vast majority of it. Because mm-hmm. I do think that I don't find that stuff like, you know, particularly sort of like thought-provoking, but yeah. I did find it at least kind of like interesting to have those concerns bouncing off each other, and I thought that, like, you know, some of the dialogue was reasonably well written in terms of how these people would be processing that, even if it is not particularly like, you know, how we the audience might process it. But then to get to the end and have the degree to which like Ilya is rendered as this fundamentally pathetic figure in the final moments.
Yeah.
And Indica herself, like, you know, grabs the holy relic and just shakes it and finds nothing in it, finds total meaninglessness in it.
Oh, like, no, like, but she does find 8-bit coins that pop out of it for some reason.
She does get all the points.
What is this game trying to say with the 8-bit shit?
I don't know.
Like, you're playing a video game. That's what it's saying, right? We have to justify this as a video game and not some YouTube movie.
It's a weird stylistic move in a game that feels like it is composed of a lot of sort of like weird aesthetic and stylistic and narrative moves. And maybe this is why I'm like not quite as down on it as you are, like why I kind of enjoyed it. I did find it like compellingly weird just to get through, even if I do agree with you that like the actual substance is completely insubstantial.
It takes swings. Good for it. Good job. However, it's thoroughly unpleasant for the sake of being unpleasant. The questions that I mean, I don't have questions taking over it. I knew kind of what it was presenting from the start. It did not subvert from its track at any point in its 4-hour run. Were you at all surprised by anything that happened in this game, or like, oh, like that's a different take that I haven't heard before at this point in now that we're in our 30s?
No, not really.
Yeah. Especially not me, as somebody who grew up gay and religious. Like, I've already gone through this. Like, we've already... Hello, catch up. I don't know. I don't know who needs to see this game.
That's reasonable.
I don't know who needs to see this game. I don't know who needs to play it. I don't know who it's for.
I think that if the idea of wandering around a landscape full of truly enormous alternate history Russian industrial machinery sounds compelling to you, this game has a good amount of that.
Sure. Yeah, it's got some weird puzzle platforming that I felt I just didn't want to do because it was couched in couched in like, I get done with this, great. When am I going to get more cutscenes? I'm like, oh, during a game starts off so sour with the water bucket shit too.
You know, actually, you're right. In hindsight, the water bucket thing is sort of indicative of the entire message the game is going for.
And then
which is like early on, you are forced to slowly fill up a water barrel by trudging back and forth to the well like four or five times. And as soon as you do it, the nun just tips the barrel over to teach you a lesson.
Yeah, doesn't this suck? Isn't this institution awful? Here's some coins. Why does it have the weird coin shit? Because the coin shit that's like tracking. You always have this like tracking thing that shows how far along you are in the story that's completely arbitrary. I guess it's
a
like
metaphor for how Indica conceptualizes trying to accrue virtue within the weird religious framework that she uses to try and understand the world that she doesn't really believe in. That and she's plagued by self-doubt constantly. I get it. I get what they're doing.
And it's kind of like, isn't this like a video game? You're on this kind of meaningless quest. It's all meaningless. It's like, well, no, actually, because like, as we have attested to in our run of Stormbuds, video games bring people together. And the same thing with religion. You can accomplish a lot of actual really good work in religion and religious groups. There's a lot of fantastic religious outlets that are supportive of queer and trans people, that are supportive that are more progressive in that. Like there's more to religion than just bad and trauma. It sucks that, I guess, but that's Indica's story, right? Obviously, Indica's story is bad and traumatic, and that does exist. But then why are they telling it? Why are they telling this story?
I think that is a reasonable question. Hey, can I do a hard pivot here?
Yeah, please, God.
Okay, here we go. Hey, did you see the first Knives Out movie?
I have not.
Okay, so first off, you might like them generally speaking. If you want to watch a story that is perhaps doing some stuff with similar themes, but way better and in a way that I think that based this conversation here, you will explicitly appreciate, I would check out the new one of those, Wake Up Dead Man, when it hits Netflix in like a week or so.
Okay.
Like, I saw it in theaters yesterday. It is also very heavily about faith. It is, in fact, that is a movie that kind of like pits the requirements of the whodunit mystery story against bigger questions of like what is the role of like religious institutions and religious figures in people's lives, and provides some sort of like compelling questions to chew on and some interesting angles on thinking about like what we do for each other. And I'm gonna say that like if you hated Indica, you should watch Wake Up Dead Man.
Sorry to shit, crap, poop all over the game you really wanted to play this year.
You know what?
What was our other one that we were going to play? I was like, oh yeah, mouthwashing. I was like, fuck, we could be playing mouthwashing instead. God!
Well, now, look. This is not going to make my favorite game. This is not going to make my favorite game of the year list. I'm glad I played it because now I know what it is and I was deeply curious. So I have satisfied that curiosity.
Good enough, I guess.
And I'm sorry that I subjected
it
to.
It's like one of those. It's one of those movies that, or like a movie where like it puts all the kind of interesting stuff in the trailer. Because I'd seen trailers for this, and I thought, oh, is this going to be? This looks a little bit more action packed and artful than I might expect out of this game. And then like that's
most of it's in the trailer.
And then the rest of it is just bunk garbage. Oh my God. Well. Excuse me. God.
Well, you know what I think we can say? Regardless of how we felt about it, us arguing about it made for truly compelling content.
I doubt it. I really doubt it. It was probably very frustrating to listen to. There's probably something that we missed that's so egregiously important.
I think we got the right of it.
Okay.
I think we're correct.
Well, we are going to go pass some dice in a little tray back and forth to each other and hand out goodies in a white elephant gift exchange. And then while we do that, we're going to have our fun ad segment. The world is dying.
Boy, is it.
And you know whose fault it is.
I've got a few names.
Every individual contributor.
No, I've got a few names.
Every single individual contributor.
A few more than most.
That's why we're offering a brand new product to solve the world dying.
Sorry, are we sponsored by Kefka this week?
We are sponsored by Re-Ass.
Re-Ass?
Re-Ass-S.
I can get a new butt?
That's right. You're going to reassess our global situation with reusable toilet wipes.
Reusable toilet wipes.
Yeah. We're reassessing. Brought to you by Reass.
So it's like, oh, I get it. It's like recycling, which will make the environment better?
Pretty much. The reason the world's dying is because everyone's wiping their ass shit.
Didn't we learn that's kind of a scam, though?
What?
Okay. Sorry. So it's re... okay. So I wipe my butt with a Reass.
Yeah. You wipe your... Well, the Reass is the company, and we're making Reass-S, the reusable toilet wipes.
Oh, Reass. Sorry.
It's important that you get the branding right for this ad.
So I wipe my butt with the Reass-S.
Yes. And Reass-S comes in all sorts of materials.
I throw it in the dishwasher? Or machine washable? What are we talking about here?
What? Well, no. Machine wash would also be very bad for the environment. You kind of have to just soak it in the river.
Oh, you soak it in the river.
Yeah. You soak it in the river. So we got all sorts of soakable materials. We got sponge. We got plywood reassess. We got leaf. We got other crunchier leaf. That'll really get in the nooks and crannies, the little wrinkles that have all the shit in there.
So how do I get a reassess, though, from Reass?
Hey, buy it.
From the store, or like, do I get it shipped to me? Do I go out into nature and find it?
You buy it from your local Reass retail.
Oh, it's a whole retail.
See, Reass retail. There's a whole branding thing.
They got a whole brick and mortar presence.
They've got a brick and mortar presence in every city.
Supported by a complex carbon dependent.
Every city. How would you not seen all the Reass?
Is that what went into the storefront next to that that Wayfair store over on Western?
You could get a Reass out of a garbage plastic bag. You could get one out of
sheet metal.
That one's really good because it's loud and it tells everyone that you're wiping your ass.
So, what materials?
Then you soak it in the river and you can reassess your ass.
What if I don't live near a river?
Everyone lives near a river.
I don't think everyone lives near a river.
Everyone lives near a river.
Okay, you soak it in the river.
You soak it in the river. There's like the Fox River, the Gray River, the River Ganges. There's the Nile River.
Yangtze. Okay, yeah.
There's the Oolong River.
There's the one that goes through Minneapolis. That is the Mississippi River, right?
That is, in fact, the Mississippi River.
Like a tributary of it. Or is it the main one?
That's the Mississippi River.
Okay, yeah, you can do it in
I mean, it goes like along... Yeah. Yeah, it does that. And then St. Paul is like south of it. They're separate because they were doing separate. You knew that, right? The Minneapolis was one, and then St. Paul did the lumber.
So
when you can get a Reass made out of flour.
When I lived in Colorado, it was a tiny creek.
It's like, kind of like cat litter.
Behind my building.
But then it cakes up.
Could I clean my Reass in like a tiny creek, or has it got to be a river?
A creek is fine. You might have to wash it twice, though, because the creek's not as big.
Okay, and I'm just every time I shit.
Yeah. Well, you could shit every time you wipe. Might not necessarily be shit.
Okay. What
you
if,
might bleed.
What if, like millions of Americans, I have IBS or an IBS-like phenomenon that causes me to poop lots of times every day?
Well, then they'll never be without their Reass.
I guess not. I guess Reass is a pretty good business model.
You can take it to work with you. You can use a coaster out of it. Or use a coaster for one.
How do I introduce this to my friends and family?
I don't know. The same way we introduced... Well, we're back. We were going to do that white elephant gift exchange, but our session got interrupted because Millie Bobby Brown tried to run me over in her car.
That did happen.
It did happen. And it's happening everywhere.
I didn't even know she was in town.
She is in town. She has relatives in Joliet. So she was there for Thanksgiving. And
that
then
tracks.
She was like, oh.
Everyone has relatives in Joliet.
Yeah. Everyone's got relatives in Joliet. I got a second cousin in Joliet.
I've got like my uncle's. Like stepdaughter's cousin is in Joliet.
I've got my brother's friend.
Yeah?
He's there.
Sorry, you said you had a segment, and I'm trying to like figure out which bit of this is the segment, if it's Millie Bobby Brown or Joliet.
It's none of those. One of the things we did when we started this podcast was, hey, this would be a great way to clear out our backlog. That has not happened.
Nope.
I thought we could just go in and talk about the games that are still in our backlog after several years of doing this podcast.
Oh my god. I mean
one of the things I talked about was Guild Wars 2. I did finish the main story of that, and then I started doing the patch content, Let me tell you, it's got a Realm Reborn syndrome. That patch content's way better.
Oh yeah.
Oh no, this game might actually be good.
How good is the patch content?
The patch content is all leading up to a very peculiar summit where all the peculiar leaders, all the world faction leaders, are going to meet in one singular place. And I'm like, here we go.
Uh-oh.
Who are we poisoning this time?
What kind of magical bomb is about to go off?
I can't wait. I cleared the main game from my backlog, and now all the expansions are on my backlog. Womp womp. Hey, I don't know what the fuck this crackling noise is. I don't know, man. I'm sorry. Enjoy the rest of the episode. Womp womp. The other thing that is now as on my backlog as a result of this podcast is the rest of the Nancy Drew franchise.
Yeah, honestly, if you ever stream those, I will join you.
If
you ever stream those, I'll join.
Probably.
You.
I mean, that would be fun. Let's see what else. I'm looking at my Steam library. I don't know. The thing is, I'm usually still pretty good about not having a backlog, but just those two alone already, that's fucking huge. I guess I still have all the Ollie World. Remember when I talked about World? Yeah, I never finished that. The skateboarding game. I'm never like in the mood to skateboard though.
Like skateboard in like an Ollie Ollie World way, and not like a Bomb Rush Cyberpunk way.
Oh, that's still on my backlog. No, I do want to do that. I liked that game. I just didn't like love it, but I liked it. But we just had to move on. That particular month was really stressful.
It was. There was a lot going on. I mean, my problem is that like my backlog was one, it's enormously huge, but like I tend to be pretty good about like banging out a two or three smaller games even besides the podcast every year. My issue is that like there are like I think four big titles that over the last 2 years I have been accruing it that I was planning to bang out one after another in an unemployment time, and I just went and got a job, and so I'm not going to have time to play them. But like I want to get through Cyberpunk.
Yeah.
I want to get through Baldur's Gate 3.
Oh, Jesus.
That's the problem. I want to play Alan Wake 2.
Okay.
And I want to play Armored Core 6, the new one that FromSoft came out. Yeah, like very different genres, very different games, but all of which are like, you know, at least 20 to 30 hours long, and in some cases closer to 70 or 80, and I just keep being like, if I just have like, you know, like a week where I could just play Baldur's Gate 3, I still wouldn't beat it because I also have a hard problem playing games for more than like 3 hours a day. But if I had like a month like that, I could chip away at it.
Yeah.
No, I mean, like Cyberpunk is the one. Oh, and all the Yakuza games. I still want to play Like a Dragon and Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth and all the rest of them.
Yeah, I was wondering about that.
I think the one that I am going to shoot for is probably Cyberpunk, just because I'm super interested in it, and it seems of a manageable scale. It seems not quite as big as Baldur's Gate 3.
No. It's about as big as you would expect out of an open world RPG like that, like a Horizon or a God of War or an Assassin's Creed style game.
Is it like kind of like Clair Obscur sized or
bigger
than Clair Obscur?
Bigger, yeah, okay. Bigger for sure. It's an open world game. It's one of those things you just get distracted.
I guess so. Yeah,
you just run around and
stuff. I mean, other stuff in my backlog, like in addition to those four big ones, which are like, I guess I'm just going to try and do next year because I don't want to get to like 2030 and be like, yeah, I never played Baldur's Gate 3, but everyone said it was incredible. Other smaller stuff that I probably will have time to like knock out over the course of the upcoming year, stuff I've really been looking forward to. I do want to like beat the Talos Principle and maybe check out the second one.
Those games
have some interesting narrative stuff going on. You'd push back on that a little bit?
No, I think the Talos Principle has really good puzzles, and it's like it's not that interesting of a narrative. It's more narrative than like The Witness, but it's not like a big murder mystery where there's a whole bunch of intrigue or whatever. It is mostly the puzzles, and then there's kind of logs and frameworks about that, but still it's still really good.
And then I keep getting tempted by stuff like I saw on Steam sale, they had the on sale was like the Konami collection of the three Nintendo DS Castlevania games.
Oh, that's right. I gotta buy Clue.
Oh yeah,
I'm gonna be playing Clue on New Year's with friends on the internet. That's gonna be fun. I have to actually buy it before the sale's over, though. What else is on sale? They've got Ball Pit. Apparently,
Ball Pit or Ball X Pit?
No, it's Ball Pit. That's not actually not on sale though. Yeah, there's a lot of really good things on sale. Witcher 3 still on sale. It's like $10. That's probably the best $10 you'll ever spend.
Witcher 3 is another one of those where, like, yeah, I have not played it. I would like to beat it.
Me too.
So enormous.
It's just too enormous. Like, there's all these open world games. How do you decide? I just realized I wasn't speaking to my microphone. Sorry. Sorry, later this afternoon, me. Sorry, you're going to have to boost it.
What's probably going to happen is I'm going to get one of those Steam machines, and I'm probably going to use it as a way to, like, play more stuff on the TV, and that might be able to give me more, like, dedicated kind of, like, couch gaming
popular
time.
Searches on the Steam store as soon as I open up the search bar. Oops, where's my bikini?
Yeah.
Oops.
Steam is not what it used to be in some respects.
Hold on, I gotta buy Clue.
Got so many open world RPGs. I wanted to play Elex, that open world RPG from that jank, like, Eastern European studio that people were like, yeah, there's something here. But again, like, 70 hours long.
Oops. Sorry. I'm looking at Clue right now. There's this 2023 Clue version that apparently has also a single player campaign. That's going on my backlog. What? Like, what? Single player Clue? Who's actually? Maybe it's just like the movie where there's three different endings.
You know a big one I want to play that I haven't? Did you ever hear about Heaven's Vault? That, like, the translation game kind of before Chance of Sinar?
No, I never heard about that.
Heaven's Vault, I want to say it's like 2018, 2019. People spoke very positively of it, but I think what happened with it was...
Vault, exquisite by PC Gamer. Ah! Sorry, Steam. You know how when you open a page on the Steam store, then the trailer just starts yelling at you? This one just went, history! An archaeologist uncovers a lost history in an ancient space nebula. Oh, okay.
It was the big follow-up from the studio that made 80 Days, that big mobile hit, like the kind of like 80 Day sort of like simulation
game.
Don't
remember that. But it says similar to Seance of Blake Manor and Outer Wilds. I have not finished Blake Manor yet. Still working on it.
Oh, yeah. Good. Shit. That's also on there. I would have played that, too.
Yeah. Well, you didn't. Okay. Boy, have you gotten the new Jackbox Party Pack? I have not either.
I have not, but we could grab it for the next time we hang out. Possibly. Although I will say, Lizzie got a really fun board game that, like, we have to play next time we all hang out called... I just want you to look this up, okay? Google search Magical Athlete.
Okay. Magical Athlete by CMYK Games. Right. There's it's kind of a cribbage style long board here with a little loop on it. There's a banana. There's it's giving me a Munchkin aesthetic, but it doesn't look like it has Munchkin rules, so that's better.
So what if I told you this was based off of what is apparently considered to be a cult classic Japanese board game that has been reworked for this reissue significantly by Richard Garfield?
Okay.
We played this a little bit over the break, and it is actually a blast.
Oh, all right. Yeah, Richard Garfield turns a classic into a gem. Magical Athlete Review by Game Boy Geek.
All it is you're drafting characters and then moving them around the board with like a rolling of a dice, but the character interactions are so, like... complex and unpredictable that it just, like, it's really sort of like satisfying chaos.
Fantastic. Great. Yeah, it looks great.
Anyway, that was a little tangent there. Magical Athlete's fun.
Magical Athlete. Yeah, I don't have any other new board games for myself. I mean, I've been spending every month I've just, there's been a new purchase, and one of them has been indulgent with the Magic of the Gathering stuff, but the rest of them pretty good. Okay. Is there anything in 2026 that we're looking forward to?
Oh, let me look up, actually.
There's the new Fable, apparently.
I'm
cautiously optimistic. Again, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about Richard Ayoade's presence.
Yeah.
You know how I feel about it? Like,
yep. Kind of concerning.
Concerning. A little concerning about that.
I am very interested in the 007 game from IO Studios. Because, like, I don't really care about James Bond that much, but I love the Hitman games. So I just, like, IO getting the Bond license and doing something interesting with it. I'm really curious what that is.
There is... Oh, yeah, GTA 6.
obviously.
Yeah. I mean, have you played GTAs 4 and 5 and 3?
I mean, in the casual sort of like hanging out at a friend's house, oh. like pick up the controller type way, but not like I've not really ever been a Grand Theft Auto guy. Have you?
Yes. Yeah. No, I pretty current with when they were announced. I mean, GTA 3 was the open world game definer.
That was the one that were the most of just like going over to like my grandfather's house at Christmas and like the cousins had brought the PlayStation 2.
Like it's just a game where you can choose to just go out and do objectives and fuck around. And that was pretty fucking, that was major. Obviously today it's a little boring. That's the thing with the GTA games. If you play them too late, they're boring because they typically push the boundary in some way.
But like, you gotta be part of that moment and then like see like how they're gonna be influential as opposed to like seeing how everyone else copies them.
I think GTA 5 was probably the most playable game today. It didn't really push the boundaries as much as 3 did, or maybe even like 4. 4 kind of just 4 elevated the what 3 did in a lot of ways, but it also kind of made driving really shitty, so it was kind of hard to get through. But the main narrative of 4 is so good. That's the thing, is like the main narrative of 3 is there and it's like all right, but then like the 4 did what 4 was 3, and then it actually introduced a protagonist, like a voice acted protagonist with real character in depth and good delivery and like good acting, which was at the time pretty fucking unheard of in, you know, early 10s or whatever the hell. When did GTA 4 come out?
08.
It was college for me. 08. Right on the money. Yeah, college for me. So 2008, like the level of acting and performance and direction and cinematic direction that game has for almost 20 years ago was stellar. So like that's what that game did. And then 5's kind of upped the ante with the 3 protagonists and like the weaving story and the much more accurate portrayal of Los Angeles, like very sure. very accurate. I mean, crunched, they didn't put every street in, but the streets that they do put in are right and they're there and they're generally related to one another, and like that's fucking cool.
I guess my big question with 6 is going to be like, given that the thing about 5 is that what really blew up was all the online stuff, which became an instant printing machine.
That too.
Like,
I forgot about that.
I'm very curious, like, what the single player of 6 is like versus what the online experience is like out of the gate.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, the online experience out of the gate was not great either. But yeah, they kept supporting it. I forgot. Yeah, that's really where 5 changed the game, was the online play. I forgot about it because I didn't particularly engage in it. I tried to like apply and like come up with a character and then like join an RPE server for that shit. And then I just didn't follow through with it, like many of my other passion projects.
The RP servers always sound fun in concept to me, and then I just like get to the point where I'm like, oh, but I am not going to spend as much time on this game as the rest of you all are. And like, this is becoming like a social engagement in a way that I don't know that I have room to add additional social engagements to my life.
True. That's so true. It's you have to want like a change in your life,
basically.
but it's all there. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how 6 changes the game. It's the thing is, though, now it has 3 generations of game changing precedents set up for it, and it might not deliver that. It might deliver a pretty good game, but that would be seriously not enough. So Rockstar has a lot of pressure. That's why it keeps getting delayed. Like, it just has to be, this has to be the next big thing.
I know, and creating havoc for everyone else trying to figure out a release schedule, who's like, well, I guess Grand Theft Auto moved again.
Everyone except for Team Cherry, who's like, fuck it,
Silksong came out
2 weeks. Here you go.
Yep.
Guess what? And they nailed it.
Are we interested in that upcoming Metroid Prime game at all? I'm seeing really uneven stuff in the videos.
I don't know. I'm concerned about it because Metroid Prime is so good.
I know. I love the first one.
I don't know. And the thing is, I haven't even played Pokemon Legends ZA, and that's got my son in there. And I don't have a Switch 2, and I'm like, I don't really want to buy Switch 1 versions of these games because they're not going to run good. I'm just kind of like down on Nintendo lately is the thing.
For me, it's like, I was a big Metroid Prime fan. I loved the first one especially. And then I bought Metroid Other M when it came out.
I never played that one.
And I played that piece of shit on my Wii in my college dorm room. And seeing some of the character stuff in these new trailers for the new Metroid Prime game, I'm getting some Other M vibes. And I'm like, I don't like where this is going.
No, I never touched Other M. It felt wrong.
Do you see this great quote that was, I saw this going around social media the other day, where it was like the confusion between, I guess, like the Japanese, and I'm going to say this in a way that sounds kind of like derogatory, I mostly just find it funny, between like the Japanese side of things, creative figures think of Samus as like a motherly protector of the galaxy. And what? On the American side, they think of her as like a sort of like vicious kind of like go-it-alone bounty hunter. And the two characters coming into conflict explains a lot of like the weird, inconsistent characterization of that character.
Yeah, they left a lot of room for interpretation with her, unfortunately. But like, they just need to keep it that way. They just need to, Samus needs to be... exist.
Other human beings should not exist in Samus's world. Samus should go into a place true. And be the only person there.
Anytime there's another human person, it's awful. It's like, what the fuck is that? What is that? That's not right.
Yeah, but I'm also kind of down on Nintendo a little bit. We're probably gonna get like a Switch 2 next year based on what gets announced. But also, I'm kind of like, the Donkey Kong Bonanza game didn't super do it for me. Metroid looks a little uneven. I kind of need like a 3D Mario.
Couldn't give less of a shit about Mario Kart.
The next Zelda or something.
Something new and good, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, like, and not ARMS. Like,
oh my god.
Like,
fuck was that?
A new Splatoon, I think, would do it. Like, not like Splatoon exactly, but like a new Splatoon style.
I mean, Splatoon did it for me.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I love Splatoon. I'm saying I don't need like Splatoon 4. I need a thing that is like Splatoon in terms of its inventiveness and creativity and new vision for doing something fun.
That would be great. That would be nice if they could do that again for a while. But okay. Well, again, as I said, we're going to keep it short, and short is now. Now is done. We have talked about our backlogs and wish lists and just other games in general, as we are kind of supposed to do with this kind of thing. So we did it.
We did
it. We stayed on theme, apart from the lightness. That was our thoughts on Indica and a bunch of other shit. If you didn't like that, well, don't worry, because we're not staying around for too much longer. We got one more episode next week, and next week we are hard pivoting. We're going to talk about Queue Up!
I'm so excited for Queue Up!
Queue Up, we'll tell you more about Queue Up, but it is from the creators of Universal Paperclips. And the, what does it say? Universal Paperclips and Babel Royale. That's where we're getting into it. It's very much a hard pivot, very silly. We're kind of, and then we're going to have the Heavens Awards after that. So we're ending on a bunch of jokes, a bunch of lighthearted, fun jokes.
It's going to be a great time.
It's going to be a great time. We got our socials in the Discord. Thanks so much for, not in the Discord, what? Socials in the description of the episode. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Light Gaming, and we will see you next week. And until then, I have been your host of Light, Jerome Barbatsis, and I was joined by my co-host of Light, Alexander Hambrock, and I just realized we didn't do the intro, so I'll have to refilm it after this. Say goodnight. Film it. What? Say goodnight to the gamers of light.
Good evening.
I'm keeping that all in.
To loudly drink this water into the microphone.
No, test somewhere else.
Gulp.
Ish.